Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to those who will be listening with us today. I've been talking about, we just did this fast, we've been having different things, we're seeing signs in the heavens, and as we've been saying, we're entering into a new phase of Yahweh's work. We have the fall holy days coming up now, very, very shortly. And a new direction. I believe that Yahweh is leading his people. And last year, we had the year of the family. I did a lot of messages on fathers, on mothers, on children. And really, this year is going to be the year of purification. It's going to be getting Yahweh's people ready for the kingdom of Yahweh. And I think that as we get into it, because there's all different phases of purification, and there'll be many, many different messages that we'll be giving on it. So this is kind of like the beginning of it. This message is called the Baptism of Fire, because that's really the era that we're entering. We're entering the Baptism of Fire. And we know from Scripture there's three different baptisms. There's the baptism of water, there's the baptism of spirit, and there's the baptism of fire. So I'm equating the baptism of fire with this period that we'll be entering now. And I want to start next one, verse 4 and 5. Acts 1 in verse 4 and 5, and it says, "And while he ate bread with them, he charged them not to leave Jerusalem," talking about Yeshua, "but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard of me. For John indeed baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days after." So we know the first baptism, the baptism in water, John's baptism, was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism that people didn't understand that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out, but they needed to get ready by repenting of their sins, of understanding, of looking inwardly, looking into toward the self and seeing what needs to change. Because that's something that can only come to you. Even repentance is a gift, right? As we know that. And it's got to come by praying to Yahweh and asking him, asking Yahweh to show me, Father, what are the things in my character that I need to get rid of before your kingdom comes? Then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 19, 1 through 6. Acts 19, 1 through 6. "And it happened in the time Apollos was in Corinth, Paul was passing through the higher parts to come to Ephesus." Excuse me. "And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Believing, did you receive the Holy Spirit?' And they said to him, 'We did not even hear whether the Holy Spirit is.' And he said to him, 'Then to what were you baptized?' And they said, 'The baptism of John.' And Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe into the one coming after him, that is into Messiah Yeshua. And hearing, they were baptized in the name of the Master Yeshua. And Paul laying hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in different languages, and they prophesied." So we see this. We see that John's baptism was a preparation. The same way that John's ministry was a preparation for the ministry of Yeshua that was coming, his baptism was a preparation. It was to get the people's minds ready for repentance that they would need in order to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy people, and a people for possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his precious light." So we see here that in the new covenant also, there's another difference between John's baptism and Yeshua's baptism. John was the last Levitical priest, and John's baptism was a form of mikvah. So it was a bridge from the old mikvah that was just a ceremonial washing, you know. And again, in John's time, it went from simply a ceremonial washing into a mikvah of repentance. Never was before John, but it was from John's time until the destruction of the temple. But even more than that, it was a changing of the priesthood. So we're seeing now, we're seeing that we are part of the Melchizedek priesthood. There's a difference in the priesthood in the new covenant. And that those two baptisms, the baptism of water of repentance, the baptism of spirit to receiving the Holy Spirit. Because we know that, again, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. And the outer court is what? The altar of sacrifice, where the animals are sacrificed. But to be a priest, you have to come into the inner court. And in order to be a priest, you have to do what? It goes from Passover, the outer court, the animal sacrifice, to the inner court, which is priesthood, which is Shavuot, the giving of the Torah. So we have to be obedient to the Torah to be a priest. But that's all important. But then we go to Luke 3:16. And then John the Baptist, answered all, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but he stronger than I comes, of whom I am not fit to loosen the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So we see that Yeshua's baptism is one of the Holy Spirit and fire. It's not just a baptism of spirit, but then after that, we have to go to the baptism of fire. So again, the same way we have the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, you have Passover, Shavuot, Sukkot. You have the different things like that, sanctification, justification, glorification. Now we have the baptism of water, the baptism of spirit, to the baptism of fire. If we go to 1 Peter 1:5. Because the baptism of fire, it's dealing with a purification. And purification can come in all ways. I want to say that because, again, in the next year, I'm going to be giving many different services, many different sermons on the subject. And purification comes in many different ways. Sometimes it's purification through trial. Trial is a great way for Yahweh to purify us. But trials come in all different ways. Not all trials are bad. Not all purification is bad. So we could have trials sometimes of losing a job, but you can get a better job. There can be trials of sickness that come, you know, and we learn faith through sickness. Sometimes the trials are just things that Yahweh is trying to get rid of, things in our life that he's showing us. You know, maybe something with moving to a different area or whatever it is. So again, I don't want to get us caught up in a mentality that when we think of purification, that we're always thinking of trials in a bad way. Maybe there's a better word than trial even. That's why I like purification better, you know, the baptism of purification. But going through different trials through purification is a great help. So 1 Peter 1:5 says, while you were kept by the power of Elohim, being guarded through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So here it is, Peter's thinking he's living in the last time. Many generations, probably almost every generation, thought they were. We know, though, there were many things that didn't happen at that time that we see why we are the last generation. But Peter is saying this, that these things are ready to be revealed through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you will rejoice forever, notwithstanding, at the present time you are pressed a little by the various trials that have come upon you, so that the proving of your faith, more precious than perishing gold, but having been proved through fire, may be made manifest to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah, whom having not seen, yet you love, and whose faith you rejoice with exceedingly joy that cannot be described. And you will receive the reward of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we see one of the main, if not the main reason for the baptism of fire is to purify our faith. Now, he uses the analogy here in verse 7, the proving of your faith much more precious than perishing gold, but having been proved through fire. Because one thing we know is, we know that when you're looking at water, right, like the baptism of water, you could put things through water that are not precious and they'll survive, right? Every day of our lives, we clean things that are plastic. We clean things that may be not so strong materials. It could be a type of ceramic maybe that is a certain way, or metals that are not very strong metals, right, like tin. And if you put those things in fire, what's going to happen? They'll be destroyed. Plastic, forget about it. Not only is it destroyed, it becomes toxic. But he's talking about our faith being purified like gold. Because to go through a baptism of fire, only something that is precious can be purified this way. Because if you take gold and you take a piece of gold that is maybe old, right? And it might look even, not rusty, but it could look like dark spots on it. Now, when you take that old piece of gold and you put it into fire, all those little imperfections are burned out of it, and it comes out shiny and beautiful looking, right? Unbelievable. And that's what he's equating our faith to. Because many times when we come into the faith, and even if you've been there a long time, your faith has not been purified. Our faith is built a lot of times, like I say, it's not really faith, it's hope. That people hope that there's a creator up there, that they hope that everything we're believing is true, that they hope Yeshua's kingdom is coming soon. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. And what happens? At times, believers, because the end didn't come yet, they get discouraged. Oh, we heard this with Y2K. Oh, we heard this with this. But, you know, Yahweh's word doesn't talk about Y2K or even eclipses like we're seeing, right? The Revelation 12 sign, the blood moons that are happening. These are only signs. It's man's faulty reasoning that they're saying Yeshua was going to return during the blood moon or the rapture is going to happen. Making these false projections that don't come true, that makes people's heart deferred. But at the end of the day, really think about it. Each one that's listening to this, think how long you've been in the faith, right? Some of you listening may only be in the faith a matter of months or maybe a year or two. Some of you may be in around 5 years or 10 years. Some of you may have been around 10 to 20 years. I've been blessed to be here 34, going on 35 years now, right? Probably longer than most people, but probably not longer than some of you. Some of you listening out here may be around 40 years. But at the end of the day, there's probably not anybody here more than 50 or 60 years because, you know, we're only so old in life and hardly anybody is born into it. We all come into it. But just think about that. What is 50 or 60 years? Nothing. Even if you've been around 50 or 60 years, to Yahweh's eternity. So there is no reason why we should be discouraged. And if you are discouraged, you know what that's showing you? Your faith is not pure. Your faith is not pure. Because if your faith is pure, you would never get discouraged at timing. Because to Yahweh, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And from the time of the apostles, 2,000 years ago, they're thinking it's the end time. And it was. Peter, when he uses in Acts 1 and Acts 2, he uses the scripture from Joel that is for our time, for his time. And it was a type of his time, but it's really for our time because this is the last generation. But the bottom line is, there's only been three ages, right? There's been the age of when Yahweh created the world before the flood. And then there was the age after the flood from the time of Abraham to Yeshua. And now there's the last age now from Yeshua dying for our sins in the time we're living in until he returns. And then next will be the kingdom. So, like I said, as human beings, we're very short-sighted in our mind. And that's why we have to go through this baptism of fire. Because our minds have to be purified. Our faith has to be purified. Because faith is simply belief. It's believing that Yahweh is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And none of our faith is pure. Some of our faith may be a little bit better than someone else's faith, but big deal, what does that mean? Our faith has to be pure. It has to be purified. It's got to be 100%. Because without faith, nobody will enter the kingdom, right? We need that faith to enter the kingdom. Let's go to Jacob 1. Jacob, the first chapter. And verse 1 is interesting. Jacob, a slave of Elohim and of the Master Yeshua Messiah, to the 12 tribes in the diaspora among the nations, greetings. So here it is, right? We're the believers today are from these lost tribes of Israel, which really aren't lost. But we're not in the land of Israel yet. At least most people, praise Yahweh, he's allowed me and my family to go there as he goes before the flock, as well as some others that are preparing the way. But for the vast majority of believers yet that are Israelites, you're still in the diaspora. So this message is very important because if you look at Jacob's message, he also says that it's the last time. So Yahweh is putting in his mind to make him believe it's the last time. Why? Because he has to write for us. And if he didn't believe it was the last time, even under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he couldn't write the way Yahweh wanted him to. But he's writing to us So it's a really, really important message. He says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, right? So here's the next thing we're seeing, that if we're going to, one of the things in the end time, right? There's two things we're told to do in these days we're living in now. We're told to overcome and endure until the end. Those, without those two things, you're not going to make it. You're going to fall away. What is the main aspect of the fruits of the Spirit that you need to overcome and to endure to the end? Patience. Without patience, what happens? You get frustrated. You fall away. I can't tell you over my 35 years, and particularly even in the 22 years we've been doing ministry in Israel, I can't tell you how many people have come and fallen away or left simply because they didn't have patience. There's people that come and they have a false perception in their head of what Israel should be, or what Jerusalem should be, or what the work should be, or maybe even what I should be. And they come there and their false perception is not met. And then they get this false, a worse false perception in their head. Oh, well, we're not in the end times. Well, this isn't happening. That. And then they fall away. And what's the end result? They go back to the world. And the end is worse than the beginning. And I've seen people that have fell away from the faith that you wouldn't even know them if you saw them again. They use foul language. Some of them are committing adultery. They're getting into all kinds of bad things because there's only two ways to go, the way of Yahweh and the way of Satan. So that's why I say this purification, this baptism of fire, this is our eternal life. We need this if we're going to enter into his kingdom, as we're going to see. There's no way to enter the kingdom without the baptism of fire. And the purification that's coming, it's to build our faith. And like it says here, to give us patience. Because if you have true faith, patience comes automatically. Because faith, if you believe in Yahweh, then you could put up with anything. It's where your faith is doubting. And that's why I say doubt is the worst thing in the world. Doubt is the cancer to your soul. It will just rot it away and eat it up, because when you have one doubt, there's no end to it. It will just, Satan will just put doubt after doubt after doubt, even to the point where there's people that even at the end don't even believe Yahweh exists. Can you imagine? They go from being a covenant believer that believes in the Sabbath and the Torah, and they wind up leaving that, not even believing that there's Elohim, becoming an atheist, or some of them going back to pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter. So very, very important, knowing that the proving, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfective work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when your faith is perfect and your patience is perfect, wow, you'll lack nothing else. All the other fruits of the Spirit will fall in line with that. But if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Elohim, who gives to all freely and with grace, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose he will receive anything from the Almighty. He is a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways. But let the humble brother rejoice, because he is exalted. So you see here, doubt is the opposite of faith. Doubt is the cancer to your soul. And you've got to get rid of all doubts. And what I say is, face it, in this world, I'm not Yahweh. I don't know how Yahweh existed forever. I don't know what he did a million years ago. I don't know what he's going to do a million years from now. I don't know every scientific reason for the stars and the planets and every scientific reasons why even our body works. But you know what? I don't need to know that. Yahweh's given me everything in his word to let me understand what I need for salvation. And the rest will come later. So with my free will, I'm not going to use it against me. I'm not going to allow Satan to put doubt and then to use my free will against me. I choose not to doubt. I use my free will to choose not to doubt. I focus, because whatever I focus on is most real to me. And I focus on what I know. I focus on how the Bible is perfect, how Yahweh's word is perfect, right? Purified seven times. Talk about the purification through fire, right? It talks about in this word, it's purified seven times. And I know that Yeshua Was Elohim existed forever? I know he walked on this earth. There's every proof of it. I know he died for my sins. I know he's in heaven right now and was resurrected from the dead. I know he was dead and now he lives. And that's why I know I can be dead and I will live again. And that's what I'm going to focus on. And that's what will build my faith. I will not allow doubt. It's just not part of my belief system. I will not allow doubt to come into my life. And that's why people who are filled with doubt, you're not going to get very close to me. The opposite. I will put you as far out of my life as I can, because I'm not going to allow Satan to use you to try to put doubt into my mind. And that's where we have to be. If you're going to build faith, you need to be around people that are filled with faith. Because iron sharpens iron. And as the more faith we get, the more faith you will get. Matthew 20 and verse 20. And this is when the mother of Jacob and John came to Yeshua. And then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came near to him along with her sons. And she and her sons worshipped him and was asking him something. And he, Yeshua, said to her, "What do you desire?" And she said to him, "That these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left in your kingdom." But answering, Yeshua said, "Do you know what you ask? Are you able to drink the cup which I'm able to drink?" Right? We know from Passover there's four cups, the last one being the cup of salvation, right? That we do have to take because it's Yeshua's cup, but we follow after him, right? And that cup was martyrism. "And to be baptized with the baptism which I'm to be baptized," talking about the baptism of fire. They said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "Indeed, you shall drink my cup." They will be martyred, right? They put their own martyrism there. "And you shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized, the baptism of fire. But to sit off to my right and my left is not mine to give, but to those for whom the Father, to whom it was prepared by my Father." So we see here, you cannot enter the kingdom of Yahweh without the baptism of fire. You know, I mean, to just think, do you really think that Yahweh is that naive, right? He already went through one Satan, the devil. And like I said, one of the scariest things to me, I think that I could ever think of, is that I can understand why human beings would fall away. A human being has never been before the face of Yahweh. They've never seen him. And even though we have all the evidence from everything to prove he exists, nobody has seen Yahweh face to face. Nobody has been in the kingdom of Yahweh. Nobody has gone up to heaven and seen the throne of Yahweh, right? So we have to follow all the circumstantial evidence, which is overwhelming, that we see. But yet, I can understand why a human being would fall away. What I can understand is how a created being, Lucifer, the angel of light that guarded the Ark of the Covenant, that stood before the throne of Yahweh, how that person can fall away. That to me boggles my mind and is the scariest thing ever. Because if a cherub who knew Yahweh and was before his throne, if he could fall away, what chance do I stand, right? And that's why I say each of us has to go through the baptism of fire. Yahweh is not going to have other Satan the devils. He's not just going to, just by you living, you're not going to live and die, going to his kingdom, and then all of a sudden, maybe in 5 years, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, you're going to become the next Satan. You're going to doubt your reward. You're going to doubt your position. You're going to be dissatisfied that there's other people that are higher than you or lower than you, or like Satan. Maybe you'll even doubt that, why is Yahweh above you? And that's what we see today. And that's why I say, when people say, "I will never follow a man," I'm like, wow. Wow, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that's what it is. It's satanic. That's somebody saying that I will not follow Yeshua, who was a man. And that is not somebody that will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And we can't, because we're living in the Laodicean era. And as that era is getting closer to an end, more and more people are becoming Laodicean, right? Why did Yahweh not bring the end yet? Because there's still people to come to truth. When will he bring the end? When no more people are coming to truth, and those that are already in the truth are only falling away, right? That's what he says. There's not a great revival during tribulation days. There's a great falling away. So this is what it's about. And this is why we have to go through the baptism of fire now. We have to be purified and our faith has to be strong. So when those days come, there ain't no way that Satan's going to pull us away. Because the ones who do get pulled away won't make it to the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we're going to see. Everybody will go through fire one way or the other. You're either going to go through the baptism of fire and be purified to be a child of Yahweh, or you're going to go through the lake of fire and you're going to cease to exist. But everybody will go through fire. There's no doubt about it. And which fire you go through, the choice is ours. Genesis 3 in verse 17. Genesis 3 and verse 17. Let's go back now and see where this curse of disobedience started. Genesis 3 and verse 17. This is after Adam and Eve sinned, right? And the curse came upon them. And let's look what it says. And he said to the man, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' the ground will be cursed because of you. You shall eat of it in sorrow all the days of your life. And it shall bring forth thorns and thistles, and you shall eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For you have been taken out of it, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So very simple here. We see this today, right? Wow. In this last days, what is the biggest problem on earth today is food. And not only producing food, but producing fruit that actually will rejuvenate our body, to make our body work. I just saw something yesterday in the news that they said in the last 10 years in America, food allergies have gone up 500%. In just 10 years, 500%, not only with children, with adults also. It's the curse here. It's this curse that's coming. Because we are dust and we're going back to dust, and there's a curse there because we are cursing ourselves and cursing the land by the lifestyles we're living. Then let's look down to verse 21. And Yahweh Elohim made coats of skin for the man and his wife and clothed them. And Yahweh Elohim said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Yahweh Elohim sent them out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground out of which he was taken. And he drove the man out, and he lodged the cherubs at the east of the Garden of Eden, and the flaming sword whirling around to guard the way to the tree of life. So like I said, we already have one saying, the devil. We don't need another one. That Yahweh, Adam and Eve, you have to understand this. We are not living in the world that Yahweh created. Yahweh created us to live in Eden, which is to be in his presence. Yahweh created everything perfect. Yahweh created the food system perfect to rejuvenate our body, to give us energy and strength. And mankind has rejected the plan of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected him. And Yahweh, like he said in Genesis 6, he regrets even making man. But mankind was cast out of the garden. And now since there, it's plan B for Yahweh to bring mankind back into the garden. And to bring us back into the garden, we have to go through the baptism of fire. That's what Yeshua did. Yeshua was the perfect Lamb of Yah slain from the foundation of the world. Yeshua never sinned, and Yeshua went through the baptism of fire as a prelude to show us that we need to go back through the baptism of fire. The curse of disobedience was cast outside the camp or the kingdom, must be purified with baptism of fire to enter back into the camp or the kingdom. Numbers 19, very interesting sacrifice that's in Numbers 19 that equates to this baptism of fire by Yeshua. Numbers 19, starting in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law which Yahweh has commanded, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no blemish, on which no yoke ever came." Right? And this is why even the donkey that Yeshua rode on, according to Zechariah 9:9, when he came over in the Mount of Olives, which traditionally is called Palm Sunday, it was a donkey that no man has ever rode on. This is equating that the Messiah is not just from mankind. The Messiah is different. The Messiah is a heavenly being, right? "And you shall give her to Eleazar the priest, and she shall be brought outside the camp, and she shall be slaughtered before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and shall sprinkle of her blood toward the front of the tent of meeting, seven times, seven number completeness, showing the completeness of the sacrifice." Again, this is the only sacrifice that was not killed inside the temple area, but was killed outside the camp, right? Where it was killed on the Mount of Olives, called the Mikvah altar, right below where Yeshua was crucified, outside the camp, as we'll see this in a minute. And this is equating to the baptism of fire. And the heifer shall be burned before his eyes. Her skin, her flesh, and her blood with her dung shall be burned, right? The baptism of fire. Everything is burned away. The same thing with us, that all of our works, all of our worldly works need to be burned away through the baptism of fire. And the priest shall take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet, and shall cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Remember, hyssop is for purification. When Yeshua was crucified, they gave him sour wine with hyssop and scarlet. Isaiah 1 says, although your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and shall bathe his flesh in water, right? Baptism. And after which he may come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. So this sacrifice of this red heifer that's without blemish, of being completely burned, right? The only sacrifice the priest had no authority to eat of. It wasn't killed at the temple area, but on the third altar across at the Mount of Olives. Had nothing to do with Levitical sacrifice, but a Melchizedek sacrifice that Yeshua fulfilled, right? Only by this sacrifice could somebody be cleaned and brought back into the camp. And he that burned her shall wash his clothes in water and shall bathe his flesh in water, mikvah baptism, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and shall lay them outside the camp in a clean place, right underneath where Yeshua was crucified. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the sons of Israel for a water of impurity. It is a sin offering. And he that gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and shall be unclean until the evening. And it shall be to the sons of Israel and to the stranger that lives among them for a never-ending statute. That's why they talk about how can they rebuild the temple? How can they start the sacrifices without the ashes of the red heifer? Because the priests have to be purified, right, in living water with the ashes of the heifer in order to be able to perform the priestly duties. But this is only for Melchizedek. Verse 11, he that touches the dead body of any man will be unclean 7 days. He shall cleanse himself for it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. If he does not cleanse himself on the third day, then on the seventh day he will not be clean. Okay, look at the numbers that Yahweh uses. He has to cleanse himself on the third day. The third day is the resurrection. Meaningly, if you don't accept the cleansing on the third day, if you don't accept the resurrection, if you don't accept the blood of the red heifer of Yeshua, then you will not be clean on the seventh day. The seventh day is the millennium, right? Yahweh made the earth in 6 days. The seventh day was the Sabbath. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. There's 6,000 years for man. The 7,000 years is the millennium that Yeshua will rule. So if you're not baptized, if you're not purified, if you don't go through the baptism of water, spirit, and fire, believing in Yeshua as the Messiah who rose on the third day, then you won't be there on the seventh day. You will not be a first fruit in the millennium. And look at this, verse 13. Anyone who touches the dead body, the body of a man who dies, and does not cleanse himself, he shall have defiled the tabernacle of Yahweh, and that person shall be cut off from Israel, for the water of impurity shall not be sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean, his uncleanness shall still be on him. We have to take all these things because all these things were examples for us, right? So what did Yeshua say when someone said, Master, I want to come and follow you, but let me go take care of my family first. And Yeshua said, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow the kingdom of Yahweh. Let the dead bury the dead. Why? What was he equating to? He was equating that unconverted people, even family members, are spiritually dead. And he's saying, let the dead bury the dead. Let the unconverted care for the unconverted. You work for the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, granted, we all have responsibilities, right? Doesn't mean leave our families or, you know, if our father or mother died, not to give them a proper burial. But what it's saying here, that if your life, right, if your whole life is touching the dead body, if your whole life is only consumed with unconverted people, even if they're relatives, then you're defiling the spirit of Yahweh. Your life has to be consumed with bearing fruit for the kingdom of Yahweh. That's part of the purification by fire. Because if there's no fruit to bear for the kingdom, then we're going to see there's no kingdom. There has to be some kind of work that's done. So if our whole life, and I don't want anyone taking this out of context, because I'm not saying we can't have fellowship with our family. Of course we can. But what I'm saying is it's got to be in balance. That if our only fellowship is with unconverted people, then we are only defiling the body of Messiah. So there has to be a balance there. Hebrews 13 in verse 10. Hebrews 13 in verse 10. We see, talking about the red heifer sacrifice, he says, we have an altar which those who minister in the tabernacle have no authority to eat, right? Like I said, the Levites had no authority to eat the sacrifice of the red heifer, the baptism of fire. It was completely burned at the third altar at the Mount of Olives. For of the animals whose blood is brought by the high priest into the Holy of Holies concerning sins, of these the bodies are burned outside the camp. Indeed, because of this, in order that he might sanctify the people by his own blood, Yeshua suffered outside the gate. So let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Don't you see it? Every single one of us is born outside the camp. Adam and Eve and mankind were cast outside of Eden, right? Which means the presence of Yahweh. So we're born outside the camp. And now, through the blood of Messiah, we get to go, we have to go outside the camp to his reproach, to his sacrifice. You have to accept the sacrifice from the third day if you want to be there on the seventh day, the millennium, right? And then from that, that's what Paul is telling us here in Hebrews. That's the way we get back into the camp. That's the way we purify ourselves. But it has to be through baptism of water, baptism of spirit, baptism of fire. So many people, there's many Christians out there that are only sprinkled in water. A billion Catholics that only get sprinkled in water as a baby and they think they're fine. They've been baptized, right? It doesn't mean nothing. It means absolutely nothing. If you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you're not a first fruit. And even if you were baptized correctly, totally immersed in water and had hands laid on you by an elder of Yahweh, and you receive the Holy Spirit, if it's dormant in you and you're bearing no fruit, if you have no work to show for that, the parable of the talents, right? That's exactly what it's about. That each person who was baptized, you've got a seed of the Holy Spirit in you. Some one, some two, some five. And now when Yeshua returns, that's the first thing he's doing. He's calling us and saying, what did you produce with my talent? The one who had five produced 10. The one who had two produced 4. The one who had one was afraid of Yeshua, hid it in a napkin and produced nothing. And he said, vile servant that you are. You knew I was a man who reaped where I did not sow, right? You should have at least put my money at the bankers and got interest from it. Meaningly, you should have at least did the minimal. Because it's impossible with the Spirit of Yahweh living in us to be totally barren unless we're totally living in the world and not even trying. It's not that hard to bear some fruit. I mean, in our congregation, we say everyone can be involved. We need people for a whole bunch of things. The Matthew 24 Project, every single person in this world that's a part of this congregation can be doing the Matthew 24 Project. Because every single life is important to Yahweh. And it's all part of the baptism of fire. It's dying to ourself and our own desires and living to Yahweh and preparing for the kingdom. It's that simple. So let's continue here now. Let's go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Malachi, the third chapter. And starting in verse 1. Malachi 3, verse 1, he says, behold, I am sending my messenger. That's what Malachi means, my messenger. And he will clear the way before me. And the master whom you are seeking shall suddenly come to his sanctuary, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he comes, says Yahweh of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who will be standing when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them like gold and like silver, that they may be presenters of a food offering in righteousness to Yahweh. So what do we see here? We see that there's a purification that comes even to the sons of Israel, right? Because when Yeshua returns, what's happening again? We're going to be turned into spirit being. We are going to rule with him for the 1,000-year millennium. But also, we know from Ezekiel 37, that all the Israelites that were part of the first covenant, that aren't first fruits, will be resurrected as human beings. And there'll be animal sacrifices again, and the Levitical priests, all the things that pointed to Yeshua, now with Yeshua being there, they're going to have opportunity to understand that. And that's what he's saying. But he equates it here to purification through fire. The same thing that we're going through now. You know, and that's the day of Jacob's trouble, right? What does the day of Jacob's trouble represent? It's the purification of fire that comes on believers and also on our brother Judah. He says, then the food offering of Judah and Jerusalem shall be pleasing to Yahweh as in the days of old and as the former years, only after Messiah returns. And I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those swearing to a lie, against those who extort from the hired labor's pay, and turning away the widow and the fatherless and the foreigner, and not fearing me, says Yahweh of hosts. For I am Yahweh, I do not change. Because of this, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And that's the reason why we're still here today, even after several thousand years of Israel's disobedience, that Yahweh watched the tribes of Israel, like he says in Amos, he sift them through a sieve and not a sand fell to the ground with him not knowing it. And here in the end time, one by one, you know, like it says, two in a family, one in a city, that Yahweh is picking us out one by one and bringing us back to our roots of who we are. But it's all got to be through the purification of fire. We can't just think, just because we know the truth. Yes, I've been baptized. You know, I keep the Sabbath. I don't eat pork. I tithe. When you do everything that's commanded to you, consider yourself an unprofitable servant. You only did what's required. The baptism of fire is about us going to that next level now. It's about bearing fruit for the kingdom. And it's about getting rid of the things in our character, like he says here. Whatever things are in the character that are not of him, we have to get rid of. Because they'll be purified one way or the other. Because like I said, every single person will go through fire. Either the baptism of fire for purification or the lake of fire for death. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 10. Really interesting scripture considering the subject that we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. He says, according to the grace of Elohim given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, but another builds on it. But let each one be careful how he builds. For no one is able to lay any other foundation beside the one having been laid, who is Yeshua Messiah. And if anyone builds on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, the work of each will be revealed. For the day will make it known, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire will prove the work of each, what sort it is. If the work of anyone which he builds survives, he will receive his reward. And the one whose work will be burned, he will suffer loss, but he will be delivered, but so as through fire. So that's what Yahweh is saying, right? In the end, there's a purification through fire. Like I said at the beginning of this message, only something precious can be purified in fire. Something like gold. So if your works are good, right? If you're serving Yahweh from your heart and you're going out there and bearing fruit for his kingdom and you're doing all these things for the right motive, then when you go through the purification of fire, your faith will only be stronger. Your patience will only get greater, right? And it's only going to make you a better servant of Yahweh. But if not, If you have no works, right? If everything is only for the world, or you're only doing things for vanity's sake, for self-righteousness' sake, you're going to be burned through fire and there's nothing left. That's why I say, you know, at the end of the day, this purification we're going through now, it's going to lead some into the wilderness, where they'll actually be trained by Yeshua during the tribulation days. But others who aren't taking it serious, just like the Shemitah that we talked about, some who didn't take it serious aren't even with us anymore. And that's worldwide. And now it's the next step. The Shemitah was only an example for what we're going through now. We have to take this time serious. And no one knows how long it is, only Yahweh. I don't know if this purification is going to be months or years or whatever. All I know is this is the next phase we're going into. But if there's nothing left after this purification through fire, then you don't enter the kingdom. There has to be something precious that's left from there, just like he says here. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trial happening among you for your testing, as if it is a surprise were occurring to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of the Messiah, so that you may also rejoice and exult at the revelation of his glory." So don't be surprised at this. This is the next phase. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. It's not a punishment. It's a purification. It's the time for Yahweh to get every spot and wrinkle out of our garment so we could be ready for the wedding day. And then let's drop down to verse 14. If you are reviled in the name of Messiah, you are blessed because the glorious spirit of Yahweh rests upon you. Verse 17 now. Because the time has come that judgment must begin with the house of Yahweh. And if it first begins with us, what will be the end of the ones disobeying the good news of Elohim? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the wicked and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them who suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. Wow, that's pretty scary. But it's also pretty exciting because judgment starts at the house of Yahweh. So yes, do we get the judgment first? Yes, we get the purification first. We're going to go through different things. We're going to go through certain types of trials. But it's not as a punishment. It's to purify us. But like he says, if the righteous scarcely make it, what happens to the unrighteous and the sinner? When Yeshua comes, right? And he says, "I'm coming to bring fire on the earth." And what is it to me if it's already lit, right? The fire is already lit. He's not lighting it. It's already lit. But that fire is not the purification, the baptism of fire. The fire he's coming, that's already lit, that he's coming to bring fire on earth, is to bring all the unrighteous to the lake of fire. Remember, when he comes to the Mount of Olives, people's eyeballs are melting in their sockets because there's nothing there to preserve. Everything is fleshly and worldly, and it's all burning away. So we have to decide right now. Like I said, man, that whole year during the Shemitah, I pleaded with the brethren, take this serious, because this is going to lead to the next step of where Yahweh is leading us, and here we are now. And now we have to move forward. Now it's the purification through fire. We have to embrace this. We have to be praying, studying, meditating, fasting, and allowing Yahweh to show us what are the things in our life we need changes. It's not for us to self-righteously be telling somebody else what they need to change. No, we need to be looking in here and seeing ourselves what Yahweh is telling us that we need to change. If we go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31, because judgment starts at the house of Yahweh, and it starts now. 1 Corinthians 11, 31, this is when the Apostle Paul is talking about Passover, right? And he's talking about every Passover we need to examine ourselves. And look what he says in verse 31. For if we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't that really interesting? If we discerned ourselves. It's a discerning spirit you need. Because you have to see where you're falling short. And isn't it so easy to see where somebody else is falling short, right? You know? But it's not about seeing where somebody else is falling short. It's seeing where we are falling short. If we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. Because if we see it ourselves and we change, Yahweh's not looking to judge us. He's looking to gently guide and lead us to the places where we need to change. But being judged, we are corrected by the Master that we not be condemned with the world. So, okay, this is what I say. How hard and how tough will this purification through fire be, this baptism of fire? It really depends on you. It can be so easy and simple, because if we're discerning ourselves and we're making these changes ourselves and we're really repenting, then it's going to be the greatest joy in our life. Because we're only going to see blessings for our repentant heart. But if we're going to fight Yahweh, and we're going to be obstinate, and we're not going to listen to change, and we're going to fight him, it's going to be tough, and you're probably going to go through the tribulation, and maybe the lake of fire. Because many, many will come out of the tribulation and purify their garments, but many won't. And that's the key to it is, your faith has to be purified. If you don't have the faith now to go through the baptism of fire, how will you ever have the faith to go through tribulation? You know? So that's why we really have to start taking this serious. Titus 2. Titus, the second chapter. Hmm. He says, but you speak these things which become sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, sensible, sound in faith, and love and patience. Teach the older women likewise to behave as becomes the worship of Elohim. Not false accusers, not being enslaved by much wine, but to become teachers of good things, that they might train the young women to be modest, to love their husbands and their children, to be discreet, chaste, good homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of Elohim may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the children to be modest, holding forth yourself as a pattern of good works about all things in doctrine, in purity, sensibleness, in corruption. Choose sound words that are instructive, so that no man can point the finger of scorn at us, that he of opposition may be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us. So here it is. We have to, in this short time we have on this earth, this is what we have to do. We have to start getting our focus now on change, on repentance, on understanding what repentance is, going back to the repentant services that we've given and the messages that we're given, going back to the lessons on repentance, lesson 2 in the correspondence course, and really starting to understand how to change into the people of Yahweh. Psalm 51, we need to be spending more time in prayer, and we need to be crying out to Yahweh in prayer and asking Him, because change can only come from Him. We can submit ourselves to Him, and we can be willing participants, which is great, but at the end of the day, it's Yahweh's Spirit that changes us. So Psalm 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. He says, let your grace be to me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be justified in your speaking and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you teach me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, just like we were talking about, right? And I shall be cleaned. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Cause me to hear joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed will rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me out of your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Yeshua, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. How can we bear fruit for Yahweh's kingdom if we haven't changed? How can we bring others to repentance if we haven't come to repentance? It's the time we have to look deep within ourselves for this. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O Elohim of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Yahweh, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For you do not desire a sacrifice, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit. That's what he wants. A broken and contrite heart, O Elohim, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Right? So now's not the time. Let them build something over there. You build right now a temple in Jerusalem. It's only going to be for the Antichrist. When Yeshua returns, when the people's heart is turned toward Him, when Yahweh gives a pure heart to those who will be in His kingdom, only then will those sacrifices be acceptable to Yahweh, because they will only be shadows of the Messiah and not ends of themselves. There must be a great repentance in this time. Like I said, repentance from water always comes before baptism of Spirit. Then we must continue to be purified by the baptism of fire. Revelation 6. Revelation 6 and verse 9. Revelation 6 and verse 9. Because not everybody, but there'll be a percentage. I don't know what percent it is. Only Yahweh does. But there'll be a percentage of people that go through the baptism of fire that will be blessed to literally give their life as a sacrifice to Yahweh the way Yeshua did. Revelation 6 and verse 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those having been slain for the word of Yahweh and for the witness which they had. And they cried with a great voice, saying, Until when, holy and true Master Yahweh, do you not judge and take vengeance for our blood from those dwelling on the earth? And there was given to each a white robe, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while, until it might be fulfilled until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, those being about to be killed, even as they are. And, you know, I know for the people in Western society, it's hard to understand this, right? We talk about the underground congregation. We talk about our beliefs being illegal. I think it's becoming a little more evident of that, as even in America and Europe, you're seeing the Bible being called hate speech and whatnot. But right now, understand that in about 60% of the world, the Bible is already illegal. They're already part of the underground congregation. That a believer is dying every 9 minutes. That only in the last couple of years have we started to see where even people are being beheaded for the witness of Yeshua. So we're living in these days. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, for those who love Yahweh and Yeshua, and like I said, every day we should be dying to the flesh, dying to our selfishness, dying to our covetedness, dying to, you know, our selfish means. And if you die every day to the flesh, die every day to the flesh, then all of a sudden, once you kill all your flesh, there's nothing else to give except your physical body, and that's up to Yahweh. Because what we're to be is, we're not to be martyrs, right? We're to be living sacrifices. That's what Revelation 12 says. But we know from the congregation of Smyrna, some will be martyrs. Some will be honored and blessed to give their life the same way Yeshua gave his life. And it is an honor if it comes that way. Revelation 13, verse 7. Revelation 13 and verse 7 says, And it was given to it, to the beast, to war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to it over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. World government, right? We're seeing it. It's already here. And all those dwelling in the earth will worship him, the beast, those of whom the names had not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone gathers captivity, into captivity goes. If anyone will kill with a sword, by a sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. The baptism of fire is about building our faith to have the patience to endure to the end. That's what it's about. That's why it's extremely important. And like I said, every one of us, to one degree or another, have to go through it. Matthew 10 and verse 32. And to be honest with you, we're focusing on it now. But to be honest, this is part of the Great Commission. This is part of just being a disciple, which we should be doing every day of our life anyway. The problem in our time is, because we're in the Laodicean era, and so many have thought that they're rich and increased with goods, and really they're poor, they're blind, they're miserable and naked, it's going to get tougher now. Because it will be the worst time the world has ever gone through. There will be world government that will outlaw everybody believing in Yeshua. And like I said, that's why now is the time to purify yourself. Now is the time to build the faith and the patience to make it through here. But we should have been doing this from day one coming out of the water. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Then everyone who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before my Father, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Let me tell you something. This does not just mean where somebody puts a gun to your head and says, curse Yeshua or die. Every single time you're compromising your belief, you are denying Yeshua. Every single time you're doing work on the Sabbath day, or you might be coveting something from somebody else, or you're gossiping, or whatever sin you're doing, every single time you compromise, right? You know, celebrating some kind of pagan thing, going to your relative's house on Christmas. Every time you're compromising with the word of Yahweh, you are denying Yeshua. Because Yeshua doesn't stand for those other things. So compromising is a great way to get you out of his kingdom. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. So denial is not just in somebody saying, curse Yeshua or die. Denial is compromise, is denial of him. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Do not think I came to bring calm on the earth. I did not come to bring calm, but a sword. I came to divide a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a bride against her mother-in-law. And the adversaries of a man shall be those of his own house. The one loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one loving son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his staff and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one finding his life shall lose it, and the one losing his life on account of me shall find it. So here it is. Like I always say, the fact that I love Yahweh more doesn't mean I love my family less. So he doesn't say here not to love your family or care for your family. What he's saying is put your priorities straight. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom and all these other things will be added to you. But if you're into a compromising spirit and you're not seeking him first, but you're giving all of your preference over to worldly things and worldly people, even if they're relatives, then you're not fulfilling your role as a disciple of Yeshua. You're not acting as a slave of him. You're basically doing what you can do in the extra time you may have. And that's not what he wants. He doesn't want our extra time. He comes first. Like I said, the tithe is not the last 10%. The tithe is the first 10%. The first fruit is the best of your crop, not the last of your crop, right? When you're giving, when they were sacrificing an animal, it's not the blemish one Yahweh's looking for. It's the best, the one without blemish. And that's what he wants in our life. He wants the best of our 10% of our 24-hour day. He doesn't want the worst of it. He doesn't want you praying and falling asleep at the end of the day because you have no more energy left. So compromise will only lead to bad things. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Be done here in a little bit. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Because, like I said, Yahweh's not here. The things that are going to come up, the trials we're going to go through, maybe some of the sicknesses that will come, they're not there to punish us. They're there to purify us because Yahweh loves us and he wants to prepare us and get every spot and wrinkle out of our garment to be ready for the wedding supper. Hebrews 12 and verse 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which he speaks with you as with sons, with children. My children, do not despise the chastising of Yahweh, nor faint while being corrected by him. For whom Yahweh loves, he chastens, and disciplines every son whom he is pleased with, right? So it's not punishment. It's actually, he's pleased with you. You're doing something good, and he wants to purify you to do better because you can handle it. If you endure discipline, right? And discipline comes from the word disciple. If you endure discipline, Yahweh is dealing with you as with children, sons. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are strangers and not sons or children. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? Right? We understand our parents are correcting us because they love us, because they want us to be better than them, because they want us to have character, and they want us to grow in these things, in the fruits of the Spirit. For this truth, for they truly disciplined us for a few days according to the thing seeming good to them. But he, Yahweh, for our profit, in order for us to partake of his holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous, but grievance. But afterwards it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it. Because of this, straighten the hands hanging alongside and enfeeble knees, and make straight tracks for your feet, that the member which is lame may not suffer, but rather be healed. Eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all, without which no one will see Yahweh. Wow. So this is a point of a purification. Because remember what we said, outer court, inner court, holy of holies, baptism of water, baptism of spirit, baptism of fire. Do you just want to stay inside the court, the inner court where the priests are, where the menorah is, where they're doing menial tasks? Or do you want to go to the holy of holies? Do you want to see the face of Yahweh? Well, you cannot see the face in Yahweh and live in the current state that we're in. And that's why we have to go through the baptism of fire. Yahweh loves us as children, and this is why he allows us to go through the baptism of fire. Matthew 3 and verse 7. Matthew 3 and verse 7. Then seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, this is John the Baptist, he said to them, offspring of vipers, who has informed you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And do not suppose to say within yourself, we have a father Abraham. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And some people, they don't want to glorify on the blood of Messiah. They want to glorify that I'm from the tribes of Israel. I've done my DNA. I've done my testing. I'm Jewish. I'm from Naphtali. I'm from here. That means nothing like he says here. That he could raise up rocks to raise up children to Abraham, but already the axe is even laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, any tree not bringing forth fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, right? You have to bear fruit. John 15, if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be cut down and thrown in the fire. And like he says, the axe is already laid to the tree. I indeed baptize you in water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is stronger than me, of whom I am not worthy to remove the sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose winnowing fork is in his hand. You know, the winnowing fork that separates the wheat from the chaff. And he will cleanse his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the storehouse. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So like I said, everybody's going to go through fire. It's just a matter of, are you going to go through fire for purification to get every spot and wrinkle out to go in the kingdom? Or are you going to go to the lake of fire and cease to exist? Those are the two choices. There's not a third choice here. So we have to decide which way it's going to be. Are we going to follow him or we're not going to follow him? The baptism of fire will also lead to the brethren being taken to the wilderness. We know that. I'm not going to go there now. We went there many times, Ezekiel 20, where Yahweh says, he will take you out from the nations where you are. All of us will go into the wilderness to one step or another. But some will go to the special place that he has prepared, and they'll be trained by Yeshua himself. Others who are not going to take this serious now, that are going to make excuses, do the same thing, you're not going to get there. You're not going to just get there. So, you know, there's people that for years now, since the 1990s, they're camped out in Jordan outside of Petra because they think, man, when the time comes, I'm going to be ready there. Some of them play cards and gamble. Some of them are gambling in the stock market. As they go along, but haha, I'm going to trick Yahweh, because when he opens up this door here in Petra and all the people are coming to this place of safety, I'll be the first ones there. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Number one, Petra is not even the place Yahweh's taking his people to. Only Yahweh knows where that place is. And when Yahweh takes his people to that place of protection where Yeshua is going to train us, you are only coming if you're invited. If you're not invited, you will not be there. And you know what? If you're not invited, you don't want to be there. If Yahweh doesn't take me there, if I'm not supposed to be there, let me say, I don't want to be there, because that means I haven't qualified for that yet. That means I still have more purification to go to. And that's what matters. Not the suffering or the trials or the purification we're going through. What matters is the end result. Will we purify ourselves to be able to walk into his kingdom? Revelation 7 and verse 9. Because like I said, there's a great white throne. There's a great white throne. And many will not listen now, but they will later. Some when the tribulation comes, that is what it will take to wake them up. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After these things I saw, and behold, a great crowd which no one was able to number them, out of every nation, even tribes and people and tongues, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, having been clothed in white robes and their hands, palm branches. And they cry with a great voice, saying, salvation to our Elohim, sitting on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the cherubs of the elders and the four living creatures stood around the throne. And they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped Yahweh, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, these, the ones having been clothed in the white robes, who are they and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said, these are those coming out of the great affliction, the tribulation. And they washed their robes and whiten them in the blood of the Lamb. Because of this, they are before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And he sitting on the throne will tabernacle over them. And they will not hunger still, nor will they thirst still, nor at all shall fall on them the sun or any kind of heat. Right? Now they don't have to go through any more purification through fire, because they did it through tribulation. Because the Lamb in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and will lead them on springs of living water, and Yahweh will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So, wow, it's great that they're there, but it's not the best case scenario. Wouldn't it have been better to just follow Yahweh now and not have to have our faith tested when it's going to be live and die through the tribulation? Because for as many of them here that are going to be purified through tribulation, there's just as many or more who will wind up going to the lake of fire. Last scripture is Revelation 19, because this is what this time period is all about. The baptism of fire that we're getting ready to enter now is all about this. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us rejoice and let us exalt, and we will give glory to him, because the marriage of the Lamb came, and his wife prepared herself. And it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are the ones having been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these words of Yahweh are true.
Wow.
This is what it's all about. It's about Yahweh has called each of us. He known us from the womb before we were even born. And through our life, he has prepared us for right now. He's prepared us for right now. Because yesterday is already gone. Whatever you did or didn't do, good, bad, or indifferent, all you can do is repent. But tomorrow hasn't come yet. So now is the time. Now is the time that we need to literally sit down, write on a piece of paper, what do I need to change? What is it that I haven't changed yet? What do I need to change? And really get a focus. How can I bear fruit in the kingdom? Get a plan of action and start doing it. Not tomorrow, not next week, not 3 months from now, but start doing it today. Start preparing, start bearing fruit, start focusing on the kingdom of Yahweh. As these signs are coming, greater and greater are the signs, and faster they're coming. What is that telling us? When you start to see all these things, look up, your salvation is nigh. And the kingdom of Yahweh is not that far off. I'm not making predictions. I'm telling you reality that as we're entering into a new phase of the work of Yahweh, like I said, when I gave that sermon a couple of years ago, when the Shemitah was just starting and I didn't have it in my notes and it came out of my mouth that this was going to be a dividing line and that some people who will not take this serious will not even be with us next year. And wow, it happened exactly like that. Some people were bitter over the Shemitah, and some people fell away. They fell away over that, and that was prophesied by Yahweh, not me. And here it is now. Now we're entering this new phase. It's been 1 year, 1 year since the Shemitah ended. To be honest, I thought worldwide things might have been worse by now, but I didn't understand about the baptism of fire. Now I understand why it hasn't gotten worse yet. Yahweh has to allow us to embrace this. He has to allow us to mentally get ready for this. He has to allow us to on our own accept it. And then he'll allow the other things to come down. Because part of our purification will be the economic system collapsing. Some people are going to go into captivity. There's going to be all different kinds of things. World war that will be coming. But Yahweh doesn't just throw us on it, right? So what is he doing? First, now he's allowing us. He's allowing us to mentally grasp what we've been going through, where we got to this point, and what's next. But now we have to embrace it. We have to be praying without ceasing. We have to embrace this moment that's coming. Because this baptism, just like our water baptism, you don't go into that water unless you really want it. You don't go into that water unless with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, you want to be part of Yahweh's family. And this baptism of fire is just as important, if not more important than that baptism, because you couldn't get to the baptism of fire without the baptism of water and spirit, but you can't get to the kingdom without the baptism of fire. So this is an extremely important time we're going into that we all have to embrace, and we don't know how much time Yahweh's going to give us to embrace this, and that's why I say we have to start now. Alrighty, I pray this was a blessing, like I said, as we go along here, not every week, of course, But over the next year, or as much time as we have, I will be giving much more sermons dealing with how to go through this, how to prepare ourselves, how to get ready for this baptism of fire and getting ourselves ready to be the bride of Messiah in the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.